Hello and welcome to the Conversion Choreography Show. I'm Anna Iverson, a former figure skater and corporate refugee turned direct response copywriter who helps you create high converting marketing campaigns that turn lukewarm leads into obsessed mega fans. Join me as I walk you through the latest marketing strategies and persuasion techniques to help you make more sales and more impact in your online business. Ready to get started? Then let's dive in with the show. Hey, Anna here at the Conversion Choreography Show. Now, not too long ago, running cold traffic to a product sales page was cheaper than chips in a greasy spoon cafe. You could chuck a few pence in the ad machine, crank the dial, and the sales chimed through for less than a pound. Sadly, a couple of things have changed in the last few years. Ad platforms like Facebook, Google, and YouTube have become way more expensive as more and more businesses shift from traditional media to digital advertising. The other problem is that online audiences have got wise to ads in the newsfeed. That means they anticipate them and they avoid them. Or if you do have a great ad with great targeting, the people who click those links erect a 10-foot BS wall with a supersonic bolloxometer scanning your copy. That's because cold audiences are super skeptical these days. They've pretty much seen and heard it all, which means lower conversion rates and sky-high cost per conversion for you and your business. So what can you do about it? Well, the good news is that there is a way to warm up cold traffic and persuade by stealth, kind of like a Trojan horse. It's a way that allows you to frame your promotion within a ton of value while also laying the groundwork to move your prospects closer to the sale. So what exactly is this voodoo magic? Well, it's the magic of advertorials, which is precisely what we're going to talk about today with our special guest, Rachel Mazza. Rachel is a direct response copywriter with over a decade of in the trenches copywriting experience. She specializes in writing advertorial copy that warms up cold leads and primes prospects so they're ready to buy as soon as they hit your sales page. She also coaches business owners and copywriters to leverage the power of advertorials so they can increase their conversions and massively lower their ad spend.
Hey, Rachel, I'm so excited to have you on the show and also totally intimidated in case I ask you a dumb question.
I love dumb questions. They're the funnest ones.
So for anyone who doesn't know Rachel, she's actually one of my amazing mentors inside Copy Chief, and she's helped guide me through an absolute ton of entrepreneurial head trash. And she's also been instrumental in helping me launch this podcast because she has recorded over 80 episodes of her own show. I think I've got that number right. So I owe you a huge thank you for just helping me to get this off the ground in the first place.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here and excited to see it because you've been working so hard and I'm just so excited for everything that you're working on. It looks so polished. And sometimes I look and I'm like, man, I really got to step up my game. Seriously.
So can you tell us a bit about how you got started in business and how you went from ground zero to where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. It's obviously a very long story, as all of our journeys are. So the too long didn't read version is I started off like many freelancers and entrepreneurs trying to be everything to everyone, which is the worst way to do things. So I started off with content marketing. I did technical writing. And about 3 years into my freelancing journey, I discovered copywriting. And I realized that I had been doing copywriting for most of my life. It was just things that I did naturally. I grew up in a very entrepreneurial household. My mom was an entrepreneur, and there was always direct response and sales and direct sales in my house. So I learned all these techniques growing up in that world and didn't realize that there were actually real strategies and tactics and techniques and names for these things until I discovered the official world of direct response copywriting. And it's like, I finally found my home. I felt like I was kind of sticking my fingers in all these different things as I was exploring content and SEO and graphic design and web design. And when I found copy, I was like, oh, this is where I should live.
Yeah, I totally feel that as well. Because my very first online business was a mum blog. So I was like the kind of stereotypical mum who left corporate. After a couple of years with my children, I kind of got bored. And so I was like, well, I need to do something. What does a mum do around her children? I'm going to start a blog. And awesome. Then I realized that you can't make any money promoting chicken dippers, which is why I kind of pivoted into direct response.
Well, actually, that's really funny because once I really got going with copywriting, I had an SEO business before I was in copywriting, and I ended up shifting to having an SEO optimized copywriting agency. And so we would write copy for affiliate marketers and bloggers who wanted copy that converted, but was also friendly to bring in organic traffic. And I had a team of about 15 writers, and my best people were always stay-at-home moms, because they were literate, they were educated, they had some time on their hands, they were creative, and they were just hungry to do something exciting. And so stay-at-home moms, I find, are some of the best writers ever.
And they're also the most productive people you'll ever meet, because yes, the stakes are high. Yeah, we've got to make every second count. Sometimes when I hear people say that they sit staring at the wall, I'm like, oh, wow, I would love to have time to stare at the wall.
Yeah, what is that like?
Exactly. So you specialize in helping entrepreneurs and fellow copywriters warm up cold audiences using advertorials. A lot of my audience probably aren't familiar with the magic of advertorials, or they've probably seen them, but they didn't realize what they were reading. So could you explain a bit about when and how you would use one?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, advertorial is such a old school term. It's back from the print days. And so a lot of times in online marketing, these are go by different names. So they're pre-sale pages or in-between pages or customer activation pages, driver pages. No matter what you want to call them, they're basically a page of copy, and it can be on your website, on a third-party website, on a blog, that goes in between that initial touch point where you first interact with your customer and the final point where you ask for the sale. So that might be between your Facebook ad and your sales page. And what they do is allow you to approach colder audiences or wider audiences or even more skeptical audiences in really highly competitive industries, and give them some more information, more education, and warm them up a bit before you throw your sales message at them and make sure that they're ready to receive that and consume that before you're asking for the sale.
So would you say there are particular niches where they're more likely to use advertorials, or where advertorials are particularly effective?
Yeah, I think advertorials are great across all industries because they're usually meant for people who aren't quite ready to buy and help them get to that point. But if you never use them before, you're not quite sure how they fit into a funnel, it can be difficult to implement them the first time because you need to have a longer term view, because you're going to need to send more traffic in order to truly see the results and be able to measure that. So I see advertorials used mostly in industries where they're used to setting up advertising funnels, paid advertising funnels, or organic advertising funnels, and they have the funnels and the metrics in place to be able to measure that. So a lot of times that would be weight loss, health, fitness, finance, certainly anyone that has a business based around publishing and direct response publishing. So they send out a lot of emails and they have an email list and an opt-in form. That's where I see advertorials used the most because they can track the results better.
So a lot of my clients are in the personal development and BizOp niche. So there'll be a lot of coaches listening to this podcast. Is there a place for advertorials for the kind of business coaches or personal development coaches, or is it not really appropriate for that kind of niche?
No, absolutely. That is a great niche for advertorials or pre-sale pages, because one thing that coaches have and influencers have is stories, and stories work the best with advertorials. So you see this all the time for other industries. I love using Dollar Shave Club as an example. They just sell cheap razors, but they use great advertorials, and you'll see these story-based advertorials like how one student disrupted a $10 billion razor industry or shaving industry. Or you'll see these all the time in weight loss, how one single mom from Texas lost 30 pounds and is living the life of her dreams, things like that. So if you've got stories, you can use that to get people indoctrinated into your brand, or even get them ready to hear more about what you have to offer, when before, if they just landed on your site or stumbled across an ad, they might not be in that mindset to learn more.
That's awesome. So where would you say is the best place to put them? You mentioned that sometimes people put them on their websites. And the other day, actually, I was reading one of the blogs on your website where you'd written about how sometimes people feel stupid for asking the question, where would you put them? But actually, it's a question that I keep wondering about, because it's not something that I've ever written. I haven't ever had any experience writing an advertorial. I wouldn't even know where to, like, where would you host it? Where would you house it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you're just getting started, the easiest place to get started is just publish on your blog or a page on your website. And that is absolutely fine to do. It works very well. You just want to be careful about the topic. It just needs to be relevant and appropriate for where you're publishing it. So for example, let's say you're selling a type of camera or something, right? You wouldn't probably post a review of the top 10 types of cameras of different brands on your website selling one particular brand of camera. That wouldn't be natural for a customer to go and be like, why are they advertising all these competitors' cameras on your site, right? But if it was a story about how one guy traveled with this camera and took the best pictures of his life, that would be appropriate. So you just want to make sure that if you're publishing to your website, it makes sense that something like that would actually live on your website, which is just common sense. But marketers sometimes get in these modes where they just like don't use their real person brain. And so you just want to make sure that it makes sense for you to publish on your site.
Okay. So could you, if you were doing a list where you would maybe be mentioning your competitor's product, would you try to publish that as a guest post on somebody else's site or as a, you know, on Medium or somewhere like that? Would that make more sense for that kind of thing?
Yeah. And affiliate marketers do this all the time. They'll either do guest posts or they'll even start the entire new websites just for product reviews and publish blogs that review different types of products. But guest posts are absolutely fine. And you can get those. You can purchase those from different services. You can partner with other business owners. You can get placed in other publications by applying to be a contributor. Or if you want to bypass all that, you can pay to play with what we call content networks. And those are websites where you can pay them to publish your advertorial on big content websites like Daily Mail or CNN.com or Wired.com. So there's companies, and a couple of them are like Taboola.com or Outbrain.com, AdBlade.com. These are actual advertising platforms where you pay them and they'll publish your article on other sites as sponsored content.
This is like a whole different world that I know nothing about, although I should really know more about it.
Well, that's the thing. I learned about this just from people asking me questions about advertorials and me saying, oh, I don't know, let me go find out for you. And so well, 5 years later.
So there seems to be a fair amount of crossover between a blog and an advertorial. And to be honest, it's something I'm still trying to get my head around because I'm quite kind of process orientated. So I like to have rules about how things fit together. So what would you say are the key differences between a blog and an advertorial?
So in terms of the content, they're going to be very similar because advertorial, I like to say it's 80% editorial content. So just value-driven, interesting content, and maybe 20% ad. So you're really leaning a lot heavier towards the content side because it's designed for people who are looking for information or entertainment, not looking to buy something. And so the biggest difference is that an advertorial is designed to be measured. It's designed to measure its performance and whether or not it's getting you a lead or a sale or a click, where a lot of times blogs are just meant to either simply provide value because you want to position yourself as an authority or draw in SEO traffic by ranking well on Google and things like that. So they're very, very similar, but an advertorial is a very specific piece of the sales funnel, and it has a very specific purpose to get people to convert in some way.
Okay. So could you run us through what some of those purposes might be?
Sure. Yeah. So for example, if you have a Facebook ad and you're running to people who may never have heard of you before, the advertorial might be to get people who click on that Facebook ad to find out more about their problem, to learn more about potential solutions before they learn about your particular solution that you're offering. So one thing that we talk about when I teach about advertorials is there's this scale of awareness. And if you're in marketing for any point of time, you've probably heard about some sort of buyer's awareness scale or buyer's cycle. And I love to use the one by a guy named Eugene Schwartz in a great book called Breakthrough Advertising. And it's all about how people are either unaware, if they have no idea about you, your product, they may not even know that they have a problem in the first place. And that's one end of the scale. But the polar opposite is most aware. And that's where people, they know they've got a problem, they've explored potential solutions, different brands, and they're ready to buy. They're just looking for the perfect option for them, and they're ready to pull the trigger. And so the purpose of the advertorial is to move people further up that awareness scale towards that most aware, where they're ready to buy. And you might do that with one advertorial, with multiple advertorials. But the thing is, if you're running an ad to people who are all the way on that unaware side, they're not going to be in that right mindset to hear your sales message. So you want to get them more aware so that they're more ready to hear what you have to offer. And that's the purpose of your advertorial.
Okay, that makes sense. So for example, if you were to look at the funnel from start to finish, if you ran a Facebook ad to a cold audience, directed them to an advertorial, would you then hit them with a retargeting ad and direct them to a different advertorial where they're further along the scale and kind of keep doing that and keep retargeting them with another advertorial until they're at the right point to buy? Is that kind of how it works?
That's definitely one way you could do it. And that's a very sophisticated funnel that you're talking about.
Oh, check me out.
Yeah. So that would be a very sophisticated funnel and a very sophisticated strategy that I would be fascinated to test. But a lot of times people don't have that much ability to track and test, or patience for that matter. And so a lot of times what they'll do is they'll run an ad to an advertorial. And then in that advertorial, there will be links to another advertorial. And okay. So you're trying to get someone in a one reading, one sitting to move further through the funnel. But many times you can just run three pieces: ad, advertorial, sales page. And that's often enough. I love the idea though, if someone doesn't go to all the way through to your sales page, retargeting them with an ad, that would be a no-brainer to test for sure.
This episode is brought to you in partnership with Podia.com. Not too long ago, I launched my first ever online course using one of the biggest course hosting platforms online at the moment. But by the time I'd finished putting it together, I think I'd literally aged about 25 years. The tech to get it up and running was mind-bogglingly complex. And to be honest, I'm someone who's actually pretty tech savvy. And it really didn't take long before the hidden costs I was racking up to get the features I needed started to spiral completely out of control. Then I discovered Podia. Podia is an all-in-one course hosting platform which combines all the functionality you need to market and launch your online course. It combines a super user-friendly website builder, landing page hosting, email marketing, and drag and drop course building functionality. The best part is prices start at just $39 a month with no hidden costs to bite you in the bottom. As soon as I found Podia, I switched right over and the results were amazing. My course looks really slick and is super easy for students to navigate. So if you're looking for a wallet-friendly course hosting platform, which is ridiculously easy to use, then head over to www.wordistry.co.uk/partners. Then click the Checkout Podia Now button to see what they can do for you.
So what would you say in terms of the impact on conversions? What kind of uptick would you expect to see if you were comparing a prospect who's gone from the Facebook ad straight to a sales page with Facebook ad to advertorial to sales page? What kind of impact would that have on how well someone converts?
Of course, it's different for every market, but I would say that the conversion rate on your sales page is going to be higher, but it's going to be a smaller number of people. So if you think about, if someone clicks on a Facebook ad and gets to your advertorial, they could be looking for any number of things. They could just be bored. They could just be looking for more information, or the headline could have really caught them, but they may not be ready to buy. But if they make it all the way past your advertorial to your sales page, there's a good chance that they really want to hear more about what you're offering. So if you're running an advertorial from a Facebook ad, you're going to want to increase that traffic so that more people get your advertorial. And that's great because those clicks can be quite cheap. You can lower your traffic costs that way. But the people that actually make it all the way through to your sales page, they're more likely to be in a buyer's mindset or be someone who is actually looking for what you want to offer.
So I want to shift gears a little and talk a bit about your podcast, because you've had some amazing guests on, like Marcella Allison, Laura Bell Gray, and Carlene Cole. And these guys are absolutely huge. which speaks volumes for how amazingly you've grown your podcast. So could you share some of the biggest pitfalls you've encountered along the way, and also some of your most effective strategies that have helped you achieve your listener growth?
Sure. Certainly just putting in the work. I've been around the industry for quite some time, almost 10 years now, certainly between 6 and 10 years. And I've met a lot of people along the way, and just I love networking, but I hate that word. I just love talking to people and learning from people. And so the podcast was, for me, was just a better way to do that. And I partner with an amazing marketer. She's a ghostwriter named Laura Gale. She's written books for Marcella Ellison and Brian Kurtz and all kinds of great. She wrote Carlene Angelique Cole's book. She writes amazing books for people. And so I come from the sales copy and marketing side of things, and she comes from the craft side of things. So together, it was really advantageous for us to come together. And now we have an ability to both access both of our networks, but also explore different parts of the industry, right? So the craft versus the sales part of things. So that was a big win, and that was made it a lot more easy and a lot more fun. But also, I think the hardest part is just making sure that you're plugged into the conversations that you are having and that they have a very specific purpose, but also just keeping it fun and casual and conversational. So that was a big lesson for me, is trying not to be too controlling of the conversation, but making sure it has a really specific outcome at the end. But it's been a lot of fun. I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned starting this podcast, and we've been doing it for over a year now, we've got, yeah, like you said, over 80 episodes, was that it doesn't have to be a business, a revenue generating business. When we first started, we really were thinking, okay, how do we monetize this thing? What do we sell to these people? And it's just brought so much more value to our individual businesses, to our partnership, not worrying about having something specific to sell or revenue to generate. It's just brought incredible leads to us, incredible opportunities and partnership opportunities. And so I think one of the biggest pitfalls to avoid is worrying about your podcast having a product of some sort. Just let it be an amazing marketing tool and relationship building tool.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with most of these content strategies, is that people kind of run them for a couple of months, and then when they're not seeing an instant conversion off the back of them, they give up. And there are all those stats that say most people have dropped their podcast after 7 episodes or something. So yeah, I think people just don't, they're not willing to stay consistent with it and see it as a long-term commitment.
That's a huge thing, like consistency.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's the one thing that makes most people, when they're running their own business, they really struggle with that. Luckily, I'm one of those people that's kind of boring. I quite like just plugging away at things. My husband always laughs because I was that person that used to go to the gym without fail at the same classes at the same time. Every week, I was like the only person in the class that was the kind of permanent fixture. And you know, when the teacher starts to know every detail about your life, I was like, oh, I'm such a square.
No, that's so great. It's the same thing. Like Anna and our mastermind, we always talk about putting out consistent authority content. And it's the same thing with podcasts. It's the same thing with publishing authority content. If you're consistent and you just do it over time, it's almost like a year goes by and you don't realize that you've created 50 to 100 assets for your business. And that stuff doesn't go away. It floats out there in the internet. People share it even when you don't think that they are. People are reading it when you have no idea that they're reading it. And it truly builds and compounds upon itself. But what people see is they think it's not working. They're like, oh, I'm not seeing a return from this. And the thing is, everyone just wants a hack. They want a shortcut. And there is no shortcut. Just do good work. Teach what you're learning and what you're doing as you're doing it, and just put it out there, show your work, and that stuff compounds upon it. It'll bring you the right people into your world.
Yeah, definitely. Well, my first copy clients, I honestly don't know how it happened, but about probably a month after I decided to pivot from my first business, I had like 3 inbound leads. I don't know how they came to me. So I was really lucky. I didn't have to do any cold outreach right at the start because people came to me, and it was because I'd been consistently showing up on social media and writing blogs before I moved into copywriting. So people already knew who I was, and I'd built a sort of foundational network.
Yes.
Right from the start. So yeah, I'm a big believer in just keeping up the content, even on days when you just really, really don't feel like it.
Right. And you're so good at that, Anna. And the thing is, I think you learned quite early on, it doesn't have to be something epic every time. Like, you don't want to put out fluff or stuff that just doesn't add any value, but it could be a quick tip on a video. It could be a blog. It could be a podcast episode. It doesn't have to be this massive 3,000 word tome every time you publish something, right?
And to be honest, that is something that I struggle with because I kind of set myself ridiculously high standards. So when I'm in a rush trying to get something out, I'm like, oh man, that really sucks.
But you hit publish anyway. You hit publish yeah. anyway. That's the important part.
Yeah, I mainly have a fit. So within our mastermind group, we have this challenge every week where we all have to share our piece of authority content. And if we don't, we've got to buy the entire group a book off their Amazon gift list, which becomes a very expensive mistake if you don't produce your content. So that on its own is a massive incentive just to hit publish, even if you don't feel like it's up to scratch.
Yep. Yep. And you know what? I was part of the same type of group. And that's the reason for 2-3 years now, I've put out authority content every single week. And it's been one of the best investments I've ever made in my business. And it was so simple to do, but so easy not to do, right?
So Rachel and I met inside Copy Chief, where she works closely with Kevin Rogers, who hosts the community. And Rachel recently stepped into a much closer role with Kevin. So what I really want to know is, what is it really like to work so closely with Kevin? And is he actually funny?
Oh, yes. Kevin is actually funny. Sometimes we get too funny. And we don't get things done. No, Kevin's amazing to work with, and he's always been an incredible mentor to me. And now stepping into more of a partnership role with him has been even 1,000 times better. He's just such a great visionary. And there's a great book called Rocket Fuel, which talks all about the visionary and the integrator relationship. And the visionary's job is to go create great ideas, create the vision for the business. And the integrator's job is to go and make that happen, make it a reality. And that's the relationship that Kevin and I have now evolved into after years of coaching. And it just amazes me how he can get his hands into the nitty gritty of the business and still just be so creative and so funny and so nurturing. And one of the things I love about Kevin is everything that he puts out on video, everything that he does in his coaching programs, everything is 100% authentic and genuine. There is no hidden Kevin Rogers. Like, what you see is what you get, and it's all real. And he truly cares that much about his students and his community and the people that he's helping. And that's just apparent in everything that he touches and everything that he does and every single one of his team members that works with him. So I'm constantly just learning from him and inspired by him. And it's been an amazing year of lessons and hard work, but exciting achievements as well at Copy Chief.
Without this turning into the We Love Kevin Fest. I definitely, so when I joined Copy Chief, I'd had a few experiences with the typical business gurus where they're like, oh, like click your fingers and in 5 minutes you're a millionaire.
Yeah.
And you kind of get suckered into it. And Kevin's like the antidote to that. He's so honest about the fact that this is going to take work. And yep. I'm here to support you. I'm here to guide you, but I'm not gonna tell you that there's a magic wand that's just gonna make all these amazing clients and a 7-figure business fall in your lap. And so I really, really appreciate that. And the amount of support that he and the team provide inside his programs, it's like on a totally different level to any of the other programs that I've been involved in, where you're pretty much just left to your own devices.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is he's, I call him the anti-guru because he's not there to be a guru. He's there because he's put in the work for over a decade. And now he's like, all right, if you want to know what I know, I'll give you absolutely everything I have. If you just show up, I'll give you everything that I have. And he does it to the fullest extent. And so he's very upfront. He's like, there's no hacks here. There's no shortcuts. I'm just going to tell you exactly what I did. And it's worked for me and thousands of other people. And if you want to do it, you can do it, but you got to trust the system.
Yeah, totally. And Kevin, I'll be coming after you for my my affiliate commission after the show.
Oh, yeah.
So before we wrap up the show, can you share the best place listeners can go to find out more about advertorials and also your amazing coaching programs that you run?
Yeah, definitely. I actually just did an overhaul of my website after like years of not touching it.
Oh, yeah. So it's super fancy now.
Oh, I'm so glad. My goal was simple. So it's at rachelmazza.com. And it's been redone recently just to reflect all the great stuff that I'm working on now, including the Business of Writing podcast, my partnerships and coaching programs with Kevin, my advertorial course. And if you guys want, I've got a free guide on there. It's the Cold Traffic Activation Guide. And that's all about how to start using advertorials and cold traffic copy in your business. So you can get that for free on the homepage.
Thank you so much for all your amazing insights. I know you're super busy, so I really, really appreciate you coming on my little show and sharing all your wisdom. And I'm sure it's opened up a whole new form of copy that a lot of my listeners probably had no idea even existed. So this is going to be super useful for them. And I also had an amazing time speaking to you.
Awesome. I'm so excited and can't wait to see how this grows.
If you enjoyed this episode and the fear of missing out on the next installment is keeping you up at night, I wouldn't blame you if that was true. You can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. Just hit the subscribe button and you'll get the latest new release straight to your favorite device as soon as it goes live each week. Or you can head over to my website at www.wordistry.co.uk/podcast and sign up to receive show updates direct to your inbox. See you next week.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Conversion Choreography Show. If you did, then make sure you hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode on your favourite device. You can also subscribe to receive email updates direct to your inbox if you head over to my website at www.wordistry.co.uk.